Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, what the heck? Let's sneak in a quick phone call here as we kick off the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. We've got several guests lined up for this hour of the show. You know, it's a nice snow day across Montana, but people are still driving to work. Kids are still going to school. We're going to talk about, you know, the latest numbers, what it's looking like across the state, short-term forecast, long-term forecast. We've got the National Weather Service joining us here in just a couple of minutes. And then we're going to talk some other big stories with Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio. And not only is it a snow day here in Montana, it's a snow day back on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. This, as of course, today is the big day, January 6th, the certification of the presidential election results for President Donald J. Trump. In fact, Speaker Johnson, knowing that this storm was inbound, he encouraged all of the House Republicans to stay in D.C. Don't go home for the weekend, because we want you to be here for the big vote on Monday, January 6th. So I did confirm both Congressman Ryan Zinke and Congressman Troy Downing have stayed in D.C. so that they will be there for the certification vote here later today. Congressman Zinke is going to join us from Capitol Hill in about a half an hour. But let's do a random start. We got Steve in Ballantyne on the phone lines. Steve, what's the deal here? Are you getting on Hannity's program, or is somebody else getting on Hannity's program?
It was me.
Oh, really? You called in?
Leo 2.0 was on there, and he was doing, he's fun to listen to.
He kind of tripped
something in me to where it's like, you know, I got to call. I got to try. And I was persistent. I was very persistent. And I was going, when I finally got someone to talk to me, and I don't know if it was Linda or who, but I was going right down Zimmerman Trail when I got a hold of him.
So what did you call in about? What did Leo Terrell 2.0 set you off, and what did you call in? What was your comment?
Well, it was after they finally elected a speaker, which, you know, taking that to the very last minute, and, you know, it was like, well, we got all the right tools in the toolbox now. And so I asked him, I said, I'm really concerned that they're going to be running to liberal federal judges, and they're going to do just like they did on the first term. They're going to try to shut President Trump down on doing anything in this country. It scares me. And his response back, I guess, you know, he started kind of going off, and he's saying that, you know, we got all the right tools. And it's up to Congress and the Senate to get things passed, and so they can't mess with it. That's the way I get the take I got from him.
That's right. Well, thankfully now the Republicans are in control of the United States Senate, and you know, in Trump's first term, we saw very good judicial nominations get through, even when Mitch McConnell was the Senate Majority Leader. So I think we're going to see some good things on the judicial nomination front. By the way, Senator Steve Daines effectively blocked the Democrats from shoving another liberal judge on the bench here in Montana. The tester was trying to do that one at the last minute, and Steve Daines blocked him from doing that. That's a huge victory on the part of Senator Steve Daines that got unnoticed, basically.
This is House Call for Health. It's dry January, but not here in the States, across the pond in the United Kingdom. Every January, there's a public health campaign called Dry January, highlighting the benefits of not drinking alcohol for the entire month. It's a challenge run by Alcohol Change UK. And the group says, despite it being a UK-based initiative, more than 215,000 took part in 2024. The group says small changes in the amount of alcohol you can drink can make a big difference in several ways. First, you'll sleep better. Alcohol can disturb sleep, and without it, you might be able to wake up easier and feel better rested. Next up, you'll have more energy. Drinking less can boost energy levels and keep you more alert. Many people also have improved mental health, feeling less anxious and having better focus. And then, of course, you'll have a healthier body, as well as many people losing weight without much effort because alcohol contains a lot of hidden calories. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm CJ Papa, Fox News. We'll be right back.
January 6th. What's happening on Monday, January 6th? I think there's a football game happening on Monday, January 6th. Is the left-wing media, are they still having their annual J6 celebrations? Probably not. Well, we know what's happening on Monday. Yes, a big football game, the FCS National Championship, plus Montana lawmakers and statewide office holders being sworn in at the Capitol in Helena, and Congress certifying the presidential election results. A big Monday with Montana Talks statewide, 9 to 10.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council. Hey.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, great to have Joe Lester from the National Weather Service office in Billings on the phone lines with us here this morning on this snow day, or a few days of snow in several parts across Montana. Joe, thanks for being with us. Yeah, appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're welcome, Aaron. It's good to be here.
So what's the water cooler conversation this morning at the various National Weather Service offices across Montana?
Well, actually, it depends on who you're talking to. Some of us that love winter, we're much happier than those that don't, obviously. But, overall, it's a good thing. We're seeing a lot of snow and precipitation, and it was obviously long overdue. And the best part of it is we're putting a lot of snow water up in the high country, and that's where we really need it. So it's all good.
Yeah, I love that this latest big batch of snow that particularly came to my house was that drier, fluffier snow, because, I'm a member of the Bad Back Club, and so one of the best purchases I ever made was buying a snowblower. And so, but even my snowblower could barely spit out that wet snow that first came in that first round, and then this stuff was just, it was just fun to push that around with the snowblower.
Yeah, and I figure that's why you have kids, and so
yeah, there you go.
Out there shoveling snow. But that's definitely correct. That first part was that snowfall was pretty wet, and then it got dry and fluffy. And when we get colder, that's pretty typical for what we see here. Is that midwinter we get into that drier, fluffier snow? It's not quite so heavy.
So, what are some of the numbers that you've been seeing, and is the whole state getting hit with it pretty good, or which parts are missing out on all this fun?
Well, most of the state is getting it. The exception would be the northeast portion. And so basically southeast, all of central and western Montana, especially in the mountains like I mentioned, but down around Billings, basically all the southeast Montana, we got anywhere from, in the Billings area, it was anywhere from, say, 4 to 8 inches. But across the region, we're anywhere from, say, 4 to up to 10 or 12 inches. And with more than that up in the mountains, like I had mentioned, the snow water equivalent, we call it, and that's how much water is in the snow that falls. And that's important because that's what melts out in the spring. And we're basically the mountains, up in the upper Yellowstone, but also across western central Montana, anywhere from, say, 2 to 4 inches of snow water up in the mountains. So that's really, really what we like to see.
Are we close to getting back on track with snowpack? Because, it was pretty dry up until now.
Yeah, we've made some headway. We're still a little bit below normal, and I actually pulled that up here a few minutes ago. And we're generally, looking at snow water up in the high country, anywhere from 75 to 90% of normal. And that may not sound good, but that's a lot better than we were a week ago. And so, we're getting up there closer to normal. The weather pattern is going to stay active. That's good. So we're going to keep bringing additional snowfall at times to the mountains, and that's, like I said, that's what we like to see. So we're making headway there.
I saw a tweet from our friend John Jackson, the Joker from X, who joins us every Tuesday, and it was from some outfit, Pivotal Weather. I don't know if that how accurate of a source that is or not, but it just looked like the whole country all the way down into Mississippi was going to get hit with this
Arctic blast beginning January 10th, but it seems like other parts of the country are getting much colder air even sooner than they anticipated. Well, is this Arctic blast coming faster than even the National Weather Service office was thinking it might?
I don't feel like it's happening faster. Definitely, we started seeing signs back around Christmas. We started seeing the signs of some changes into the new year. But I think for sure what you've mentioned, it's making a real strong plunge to the south. So we are seeing some really cold temperatures all the way to the Gulf Coast even. And, you know, if you're paying attention to the weather, we just had a really big snowstorm across the central part of the country, basically Kansas City, St. Louis, over to the Ohio Valley into the mid-Atlantic. And that's still ongoing. So, you know, when we get those cold plunges that push all the way that far south, we end up getting these snow events that also snow and ice events that push pretty far to the south. So, and that looks like that's a pattern that's kind of held for a while longer yet.
Yeah, yeah, I heard the Show Me State is maybe wishing somebody would show them some coal-fired power plants right now. They lost tens of thousands without power. They're not used to this type of cold. I mean, a Montana ranch family, you lose power, you don't like it, but you just figure out how to deal with it. But down there, they're not used to this kind of stuff. I'll have to check with you maybe offline about what the weather forecast might be looking like for January 20th in Washington, D.C., because I'll be there for the inauguration. But they're having a snow day today, that's for sure.
Yes, Aaron, no problem. We'll let us know anytime. We're glad to help.
So. I'm going to have to pack more stuff. I was originally only supposed to pack for Vegas and the SHOT Show that week, but if there's going to be snow in D.C., I might have to pack a little bit more stuff for the trip now. All right, Joe. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that would be a possibility. It's the pattern overall looks real cold across the east for a while longer, yes. You might get your wish.
For just the foreseeable future. All right.
Yep.
Well, about 30 seconds to go. Joe Lester, any other high points that you want to share?
The travel is pretty rough going out there. So just remind everybody that, you know, it is winter. I know that sounds funny, but, you know, we get those warm, dry stretches. A lot of people kind of forget about it, I think. So it's cold, snow's on the ground, and we're going to keep it for a while. We're going to see some more snow, before we're done. So
that's right. Keep that go bag packed with gloves and a hat and a coat and everything, and so that you got it there within hands reach if you need to access it. You just never know what might happen out there, so it's always good to be prepared. All right, Joe Lester, appreciate all you and the rest of the fine folks at the National Weather Service office do for us. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yep, thanks, Aaron. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. And by the way, also, you can follow the various NWS offices. You know, the Billings office, Glasgow, Great Falls, Missoula, you name it, on social media, and they do a great job of sharing information on that front as well. Quick break. We've got Jeff Manasa with Fox News Radio. We'll try to sneak in a call and more.
This is House Call for Health. It's dry January, but not here in the States, across the pond in the United Kingdom. Every January, there's a public health campaign called Dry January, highlighting the benefits of not drinking alcohol for the entire month. It's a challenge run by Alcohol Change UK. And the group says despite it being a UK-based initiative, more than 215,000 took part in 2024. The group says small changes in the amount of alcohol you can drink can make a big difference in several ways. First, you'll sleep better. Alcohol can disturb sleep, and without it, you might be able to wake up easier and feel better rested. Next up, you'll have more energy. Drinking less can boost energy levels and keep you more alert. Many people also have improved mental health, feeling less anxious and having better focus. And then, of course, you'll have a healthier body, as well as many people losing weight without much effort because alcohol contains a lot of hidden calories. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm CJ Papa, Fox News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information, or instant payment. Email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov. health.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We should be getting a phone call any minute now from Jeff Manasso with Fox News Radio. He's going to have the latest details on both New Orleans Bourbon Street terrorist attack and also the Las Vegas Cybertruck incident investigation. If you guys heard me on the show on Friday, man, I really went down the rabbit hole on that Las Vegas story in particular. And there was some more crazy info that came out over the weekend. In fact, Tim in Billings sent me, he was the one who first flagged this one for me. The Sean Ryan Show, if you guys know the Sean Ryan Show, he's got a popular podcast. He's a Navy SEAL CIA contractor who's got his own podcast. Wait till I tell you the update of what he shared over the weekend. But as Tim and Billings pointed out, he said, Aaron, your spidey senses, were spot on when it comes to this Las Vegas story. That was the biggest takeaway that I shared Friday morning is that, man, when it comes to this whole Las Vegas Cybertruck story, you know, the Tesla Cybertruck that blew up in front of the Trump Hotel in Vegas. I said, there's just too much about this story that is not adding up. Anyway, we'll get into that story here in a second. Jeff Manasso is going to join us on the show for some of the latest details as well. But first, let's sneak in a caller here. We've got Francis in Big Fork on the phone lines. Francis, happy new year to you. And what's on your mind this morning?
I just wanted to thank you guys for all you're doing and all your interesting guests. And I just heard not too long ago that the terrorists in Louisiana, that they had been given millions and millions of dollars for security. And where's all that money gone? You know, the barricades they didn't even have up, and they said they rusted and they were fixing them. Well, when they knew they had these big events coming up, they could have got that stuff done.
Yeah, good point. I mean, it's a failure on the part of these New Orleans officials, right, that they didn't even have their security measures up and running. And, yeah, good point by you. I don't even know how much money they've gotten from we, the taxpayers, to help with security. And, well, what do they do with all that money, right? Maybe there needs to be an audit of that.
Probably give it back to Biden.
There always seems to be a kickback in there one way or another for somebody, doesn't there? Yeah. Well, so that's the New Orleans terror attack. Francis, what's your thoughts on, I don't know how closely you've been following this Las Vegas incident, you know, where the Tesla Cybertruck blew up in front of the Trump Hotel. What's your take on that? My takeaway is that there's just too much that's not adding up with that story.
Well, these two guys knew each other. They went to the same one of their forts. They worked together in one of them forts. I don't know which was Fort Benning or which one it was. But they had seen each other and knew each other. And then they used the same rental outfit. Doesn't that sound kind of fishy?
Yeah, a lot of people haven't heard of that outfit. I've heard of Turo.com. It's basically like the Airbnb for rental cars. So like let's say, for example, in a big snow day like today in parts of Montana, if you needed to go get a rental car that has four-wheel drive, good luck, right? Especially as car accidents start piling up. People then have to go get rental cars to drive around. Everybody wants the four-wheel drive. So if the rental cars are all booked out at all the various rental car agencies, some people would then go to Toro.com, which is where individual people, not companies, can rent out their vehicles, much like you would rent out your house or an apartment through Airbnb or VRBO or something. Now, real quickly, unless there's some new information, I have not seen any indication that these two knew each other, that the guy who was a member of ISIS terror group who ran over the innocent people in New Orleans. Now, I did see that he was stationed at Fort Bragg back in the day. And of course, the suspect, pardon me, the suspect in the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion. Now, he is an active duty Green Beret. And as a Green Beret, yeah, he was at one point stationed at Fort Bragg as well. But Fort Bragg is a massive base. Practically every soldier in the Army at some point in their career has gone through Fort Bragg. Now it's called Fort Liberty. So I don't know how much that is. The big development that came over the weekend, though, and pardon my raspy voice here this morning, the big development that came over the weekend, we still don't have Jeff Manasso on from Fox News Radio with us. He was supposed to be on already, but he may be in another interview that's going long here. But so you'll have to bear with my raspy voice for a little bit longer here. But the most interesting thing that happened, you know, I raised several questions Friday morning on the show. I was following a number of different folks on X who were raising some very interesting questions about everything that just was not adding up when it comes to the Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion. And so anyway, what came out, though, Friday afternoon, actually, no, it wasn't just Tim and Billings. It was Ed in Kalispell, another great veteran, you know, soldier who listens to this show. He flagged me to these conversations that were going on the Sean Ryan show. Sean Ryan is that guy who I was telling you about who was a Navy SEAL and a CIA contractor. Well, he ended up having on his – he did an emergency podcast with an Army veteran named Sam Shumate. Sam Shumate has an intelligence background, and what they found and what Sam Shumate realized, and then when Sean Ryan found out about this information, they went back and checked their own records, checked their own emails, checked their own messages on social media, and they found that they had the same thing. So the official storyline with the Las Vegas Cybertruck thing was that, you know, it seemed like the news media and the information that was coming out of investigators was that, well, this guy, you know, his wife left him. So he freaked out, drove this Cybertruck to Las Vegas, killed himself with a gun. And then after he killed himself with a gun, then the vehicle exploded in front of the Trump Hotel. Okay, but there's all sorts of so either this guy freaked out because his wife left him and then killed himself, or was there something else at play here? And I raised a bunch of the different questions on Friday's show. Well, then after Friday's show, later in the day on Friday and into Friday evening on Sean Ryan's program, they had an email allegedly from the suspect in this Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion, who basically said, hey, the government is coming after me. You know, I've got information that comes to, you know, drone technology. He said, you know, all those drones that you saw over New Jersey? He said, yeah, it's China. And they've got this, you know, propulsion technology to be able to use these types of drones. Now, take it for what it's worth. He also said that he's got evidence of war crimes committed in Afghanistan. Now, I say the email was allegedly from the suspect in this Texas or this Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion. Here's the thing, though. And then there was another there was more conversations that took place on X last night. Sean Ryan and several other guests broke it down and detailed it. Here's the thing. Whether the email came from Livelsberger, the suspect in that incident, who they claim took his own life, whether the email was written by him or by somebody else, Sam's shoemate documented, and Sean Ryan went back into his own email traffic for his show and said, wow, we had messages from this guy too, or somebody claiming to be this guy. They had Instagram messages. They had Proton Mail secure message traffic where they claimed that they were this guy. So that doesn't track with the storyline then. This all suggests that there is much more to this incident and much more to this story than what we are being led to believe. Because somebody sent that email. Somebody, whether it was him, and it could still be that maybe he freaked out and was in a mental health crisis, and then that triggered this, this anxiety that somebody was following him or tracking him. Who knows? But my point is that somebody sent that email, whether it was him or whether it wasn't him. I think there's an effective case that could be made that he did not send the email, that it didn't actually come from him, but it came from somebody. Foreign actor, deep state operative, him, who knows, right? It came from somebody. So who sent that message and why? And for any of you who have ever used Signal, Signal is this messaging app. Caden, I take it we don't have Jeff Manasso coming. I'm not seeing any messages here, and I don't think that's him on the phone lines there, is it? Okay, yeah, no worries. We don't need to get him. Don't worry about reaching out. We're good because we got another guest joining us here in just a minute. I'm going to just free up the phone lines there. I was just checking to make sure that wasn't him on the line there. Somebody sent that email. Who sent it? Why did they send it? Was it him? Was he in the middle of a freakout? And this was just another part of the freakout. Is there truth to his email? Or did another state actor or non-state actor send that email? And if so, why? If they knew that something was about to happen. I still think all of these new developments in this story, point to a theory that this guy could have been set up. That's kind of the latest on that front, going down the rabbit hole once again here. We talked about the snow day in Montana. We're going to talk about the snow day on Capitol Hill, the vote to certify the presidential election results, and much more. Montana's Western District Congressman and former Trump Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke joining us right after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Two things strike me about the media coverage of the horrifying terror attacks in New Orleans and Las Vegas. One, the press, the pundits, very quick to politicize this, saying it is President Biden's fault, it's President-elect Trump's fault, exactly what we don't need. And this was done even before we knew of the 14 fatalities. Secondly, there's always this media hunger. What's the motive? Why did this person do this? Well, anyone who blows themselves up, both of these guys basically committed suicide, is insane. Now, there's a little more interest in this because both of them are not just American citizens, but are American military men. The guy in Las Vegas in the Bourbon Street attack, 10 years in the Army. The guy who blew up the Tesla in Las Vegas, who loved Trump, apparently, he's a Green Beret. I'd rather focus on how he prevents such outdoor attacks in the future. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See home club for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, good point here by Art in Kalispell. Art in Kalispell says this: it seems we know more about the Vegas and New Orleans terrorists, or I should say suspects with regard to Vegas in particular, than we know about the guys who attempted to assassinate President Trump. Yeah, great point, Art. Yeah, or the January 6th pipe bomber suspect, right? Oh, now they want to release more video footage. Like, why didn't they release that years ago? It's just crazy. Hey, let's jump right into it. We got Montana Congressman Ryan Zinke with us on the phone lines right now. A big snow day on Capitol Hill. A little snow ain't going to stop some good Montanans, though, right, Congressman? Good to have you.
You know, I am sitting at my duty station at my office waiting for the vote, and we'll see whether the Democrats, quite frankly, battle the snow and show up to certify the election. But there's about 5-6 inches out there, and this morning I woke up and I watched this car get stuck with slicks. It was a Dodge Charger, you know, white, and he must have got stuck 6 or 7 times down the same street. So, you know, they are not used to snow here.
Well, I know you're probably thinking, man, it would have been great to be in Whitefish getting some skiing in. But hey, you know, Speaker Johnson was like, we need everybody here. We need everybody here because we got to certify the presidential election.
We do, and there's a lot to get done. I can't wait till President Trump assumes the title of Commander-in-Chief and President of the United States in 47. There's a lot that we need to get done, and we're going to need the president's help to do it, and vice versa. So I'm actually, optimistic as of late. We got a new speaker in the first round. Now it was round part A, B, and C, but it was still counts in the first round. We got the rule package done. I think most members now understand what reconciliation can and cannot do. And our intent is to shut down that border and make sure we got the tax revisions expended to protect Montana farms and ranches. And then curb that budget on reconciliation.
Yeah, I want to talk more on that reconciliation package because I understand they're working to get a lot accomplished in this one package, which is exactly what Montanans, I think, want to see. They want to see fast, quick-moving action to start getting this country back in the right direction. All this procedural mumbo-jumbo, to me, it's like, no, get the job done. We've gotten so caught up in the last 2 years about the how that people forgot what the what is. But for today's vote, the presidential certification vote for January 6th, I know both you and Congress, and now Congressman Troy Downing from the Eastern District, you guys stayed back so that you wouldn't get stuck out of D.C. so that you could be sure to be there to vote to certify President Trump's election results. What are the numbers looking like? How many Republicans, most of the Republicans, did they stay back? And it sounds like a lot of the Democrats left town and may not be able to make it back.
Well, most of the Republicans, we stayed also to do a policy offsite where we went through reconciliation. You know, I mean, obviously, Troy and I were there. Troy is part of the financial services now, and that's going to be a part of our digital future, which is glad to have him on board. But we went through, you know, reconciliation, what it does, what it doesn't do. And for everyone, you know, reconciliation simply requires the majority of votes in the Senate, vice the 60 rule. However, you're limited. And real quickly, there's a Byrd's rule. Now it's codified in the law that really it restricts. You're not going to touch Social Security. You are going to look at mandated, but also on the discretionary side, you know, you look at waste, where we can do, you know, efficiency, where we can have savings, you know, some work requirements. But you are limited on what you can and cannot do on policy. So, you know, we can get a lot done, but, you know, like anything else, if you're going to get it in law long term, you're going to have to work with Americans, and that's on all sides of the aisle to get permanent fixes on the challenges we face.
And I understand it. I saw a DailyWire.com piece here. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was on Fox News Sunday, or I'm sorry, with the Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News, and he talked about how President Trump wants to see one big, beautiful bill. And the beauty of reconciliation is that it doesn't require a 60-vote threshold in the Senate. So now you don't have to sit there and listen to what Chuck Schumer has to say to try to put a stop to all this.
Well, I think your quote was correct. It was one beautiful bill. It was the quote from President Trump. and we're going to have to deal with the debt ceiling, and there's the other issues. But what can go into reconciliation, you know, a lot of what we see in government on, for instance, Montana, on Department of Interior, or our Forest Service, Department of Ag, you know, those are separate in many cases from the reconciliation. And we still got to do our job on appropriations, get the bill for Montana. You know, the farm bill, it's simply extending it. To me, we got, there's a lot of good changes that are necessary for Montana that we need to legislatively and finish that bill rather than extension. And of course, with our military, a CR, which is a continuing resolution, which I hate, it doesn't allow you to make adjustments. You can't move between programs. And look, you know, we're operating on a bill that now is at least 2 years old. And the world's changed in 2 years. So you look at what the military needs now, you know, faster, quicker drones, technology in the front, battlefield, our logistics, and a changing dynamic both in the Middle East, you know, and the Far East, with China continuing to be aggressive and expand their Navy rapidly.
How united will House Republicans be? There was so much division in the last 2 years where it's, okay, if you get a handful of two moderate members that vote against the Republican caucus this way, vice versa, you get a handful of Freedom Caucus members that don't unite with the Republican caucus, then you can never get anything done with such a slim majority. People don't care, slim majority or no slim majority. They want Republicans to unite and then fight, fight, fight. How confident are you that House Republicans will do just that to support Trump?
Well, I remain an optimist. We saw the speaker vote as an example. There was one member, Massey from Kentucky, that was a no to begin with because he focuses and only focuses on the debt. You know, fair that the debt's important, but the debt is one of many things. And then we had two members that decided that they would redirect after they had a conversation with the president. And, you know, the good thing is the seals. The seals, all six seals, voted in unity. Montana certainly voted in unity. So at the end of the day, we elected a speaker with the smallest margin really in the history of this country. And that was a positive thing. Newt Gingrich, you know, said as much. The first Trump victory was getting a speaker. You can't go through with the days, for instance, on the election, you can't go through this process without a speaker. You couldn't, you know, call the committees. You can't start anything with a speaker. And last time, it slowed us down. And lastly, you know, we're on a time clock. You are exactly right. Americans have spoke. The people have spoke. They want to get things done. And now's the time to get things done. The first 100 days, the first, you know, few months in Congress makes a difference on what happens in the tail end of the year.
Couple minutes before we take our next break, and then hopefully you can join us for a few minutes after that as well. But this terrorist attack in New Orleans, and then what could be, I mean, I think we're still trying to figure out exactly what happened in Las Vegas. I think there's a lot of things that just aren't adding up with this Las Vegas Cybertruck explosion story. I kind of went down the rabbit hole on that one, listening in on the Sean Ryan podcast and more. But anyway, your take on both incidents.
Well, this is what disturbs me, is that both of them were one was a former Army and one was an active duty. And so they had raised their hand and they had given the oath to defend this country against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And both of them fell short. I think there are different circumstances. One was an absolute terrorist. I think that's clear. With our special forces, you know, looking at and reading through his manifesto, what I gleaned from it is, you know, you and I know, you know, 500 of these guys that would look at the same profile. You know, they got tattoos, they've been in combat a long time, you know, they're having some problems at home, et cetera, et cetera. In my judgment, he snapped because the manifesto talked about, you know, Chinese submarines launching drones off the East Coast. I can tell you that is not a possibility. And then the CIA, people were following him. But in the middle of it, he beat bona fides, right? My first car was a 1969 black, Mustang. So he wrote it, but this is a kid that's under duress. I guess if there's a lesson learned, is that, look, our special forces have been really, really used, sometimes overused in the past couple of years.
So points potentially to the mental health challenges facing.
Yeah.
All right, hold that thought. Quick break. Stand by.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And I said this last night. Legacy media, and I said journalism is dead in 2007 and 8. All these conglomerates, all these big newspapers, New York Times, Washington Post, you name them, all of them, ABC, NBC, CBS, all of them, you know, all these fake news, you know, channels together combined, they threw everything they had at this man to destroy him. And Donald Trump has defied every one of those critics, and he's still not only standing, he's standing triumphantly. I mean, it really is an incredible thing.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
It's been used as a store of value for thousands of years. It's known as a safe haven asset in times of uncertainty. It's breaking record after record this year, and many economists are predicting it could skyrocket even higher. Of course, I'm talking about the precious metal, gold. Right now, thousands of Americans are looking to precious metals like gold and silver to diversify their savings. Even central banks around the world are stocking up on gold. Is it time you learn more about what precious metals can do for you? Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. Right now, the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, is offering a free gold and silver kit to arm you with the facts about how gold could potentially help safeguard your retirement. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy of the 2025 gold and silver kit free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Medicaid is an almost 60-year-old program that has vaulted into the limelight by decision of the Obama administration to include its expansion as part of the Affordable Care Act packages of changes to the insurance landscape. After a Supreme Court decision 2 years later, states like Montana were given the option whether to participate in extending eligibility to adults earning up to 138% of the poverty threshold. That extension expires here this year, and so it's natural to ask what's been accomplished. There's some success and some failure, to be sure. The rate of uninsured in Montana, like other states, has come down substantially, especially for children. National research indicates health care utilization has gone up. Financial security for low-income households has improved. Two problems that are harder to solve remain so. A Medicaid expansion has not affected some categories of expensive care, like emergency room visits. And healthcare outcomes have proved difficult to change as well. I'm Patrick Buffy.
Brought to you by
841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, for those of you guys who know Ryan Zinke, you know, he played football for Whitefish High, and then he played football in college for the Oregon Ducks. And we were talking during the break because coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, of course, we're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking about Frisco, Texas, and the Montana State Bobcats, the undefeated Bobcats, playing for the national championship here tonight. Congressman Zinke, I got to think, you're an Oregon Duck, so you'll cheer on the Cats and the Grizz. Senator Steve Daines, he's a big Bobcat guy.
What a crushing defeat. What a crushing defeat with Oregon and Ohio State. But the most important game coming up is the Bobcats, you know, and you watch him a lot. Look, he's a Butte kid, right?
How could you not cheer for Butte?
This is a big deal. Big deal. You know, and the Bobcats have earned their spot. They've had some tough games. They've gotten better every game. And now it's kind of a rematch of the 21 series. And of course, there's best on the board between Montana and North Dakota here. And I know Kramer very well. And there's bets. So no doubt, the Bobcats are going to come to play and win national championship. And then, Mr. Kramer over in North Dakota will be wearing a Bobcat shirt.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a great game. I mean, you know, both North Dakota State and South Dakota State have been so dominating in that FCS championship over the years. But, hey, the Cats just knocked off South Dakota State. And last year, the Grizz knocked off North Dakota State in the semifinal game. So I think this could be the year that they make it happen. But, you know, whether you're a Bobcat or a Grizzly, how could you not cheer for Touchdown Tommy and the Butte, Montana kid? Just seems like an incredible young man.
Well, you know, if you're a Grizz, you're a Grizz. If you're a Bobcat, except when one team gets knocked out, then we become one state. So, you know, you don't have to wear a Bobcat hat, but you got to cheer them on.
See, I figured out the perfect way to thread that needle. So, because I went to the University of Montana, and, you know, so I've been a Grizz fan since I was a little kid. You know, my dad was friends with Doug Betters, who played for the Grizz and then was one of the killer bees for the Dolphins. And
a Whitefish kid.
And a Whitefish kid, that's right. We got to, you know, yep, go for rides on his boat when I was little. So I'm wearing a T-shirt today that says 2025 National Championship, Frisco, Texas. And then it says, the Melstone Cowboys. It's for the Grebe brothers. And their mom serves in the National Guard. She's a lieutenant colonel in the National Guard. She'll be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. So you can support the Montana kids, and it doesn't say anything about the Bobcats on it. It's the Melstone Cowboys.
It's going to be a great game, and I can't wait to watch the Bobcats. You know, I think they're focused. The coaching staff is good. And I think they know this is a great moment, and it could be their game. So,
well, we've got so many great Bobcat listeners and Bobcat, you know, we're on the air in Bozeman all morning long, and KMMS, and you know, I think of our friends like, you know, Aaron Graff and Eigen Graff, who are some great, you know, Montana State Bobcat athletes themselves. So many good friends. It's good to see the success they're having this year.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then we have, of course, inauguration coming up. For those that are Montanans that are coming, just have to be patient because the Capitol already, they pushed the security line all the way out to 2nd Street here. So as I'm sitting there looking out my window, you know, normally how bad traffic is in D.C., well, you're going to have a lot more patience because it's going to be four times as bad.
It sounds like the snow may stick around until then as well.
Well, we'll see again. You know, this town goes ballistic when they have a half inch of snow. Well, we'll see in the vote today. You know, we're going to be on the floor here pretty soon, and we'll go down and we'll certify the election. We'll see. You know, how many people actually show up. Most of the Republicans are here, as you can imagine. I think it's a great honor to be here. And look, I'm an optimist, but we're going to have to, you know, real quickly in the border.
We're running out of time. Shoot. I apologize. We're out of time. But Congressman Zinke, great to have you on the show. We will see you in 2 weeks. Jessica and I will see you at the inauguration. Looking forward to it. Thanks for your time.
I look forward, and God bless everyone.
January 6th. What's happening on Monday, January 6th? I think there's a football game happening on Monday, January 6th. Is the left-wing media, are they still having their annual J6 celebrations? Probably not. Well, we know what's happening on Monday. Yes, a big football game, the FCS National Championship, plus Montana lawmakers and statewide office holders being sworn in at the Capitol in Helena, and Congress certifying the presidential election results. A big Monday with Montana Talks statewide 9 to 10.